They got to do it next Sunday. They just got to do it. Oh, Lord, you are awesome. Lord, you're a healer. Lord, you're my provider. And Lord, you're all that. He's all that. Woo. Some of you need to act like you ought to in church and you wouldn't have to go to the gym. Oh, man. Lord, you're all that. I love that line. The message this morning is one to grow on. It is digging a little deeper in the well of truth. Hard preaching and teaching of a standard of a holy life is not that popular anymore. But part of the work of the Holy Spirit in us, when we get together like this today, it's a window of opportunity for us to grow, to stretch beyond where we are toward the direction God has for us. And I want to talk to you about a very strategic thing that happens in each of us the moment we're born again. Now, just to be sure I'm in the right crowd, I'm at the right place. How many of you have had the new birth experience? You are born again. Raise your hand. Okay, yeah, I'm in the right place this morning. So many things happen the minute we are born of the Spirit. Faith goes to work in us. Repentance does a work in us. Doctrinal words that begin at the new birth, like election. Did you know that's a biblical doctrine? And the moment you receive Christ as Lord, you are elected. Wow, that's powerful. Then adoption occurs the moment we're born again. Another doctrine we love, regeneration, takes place the split second we're born again. Last Sunday, the entire message was devoted to one thing that happens to us at the new birth. Last Sunday, we talked about justification and how powerful that process is in our lives as a believer. We defined justified biblically. Strong's Concordance defines it like this. To be justified is to be rendered innocent and free. To be made right in a moral or a forensic sense. Imagine it. We talked in depth last week about it. When we come to Christ and trust Him as our Lord and trust His blood to forgive us of our sin, this thing we celebrated last Sunday called justification instantly removes all of the baggage of our life, all of the sin scars that we brought to Him. All of those are gone now, and God declares over our lives that we are innocent and we are made right. And we're now, because we've been justified, declared innocent, we are capable of standing in the presence of God without being struck dead, righteous in His eyes. Today I want to talk to you about another thing that happens at the new birth. At least it begins then. I want to talk about sanctification. I'm excited that we're getting ready to grow again. Look at your neighbor and say, here we grow again. I will define sanctification like this. It's being made fit for your assignment. One of the top 10 great days in my life was just a few years ago when I had the opportunity to meet Pastor Bill Monroe, who is pastor of the great Florence Baptist Temple just down the street here from us. I was pleased to get a call from his secretary, and she said, Pastor Monroe would like for you to come by the office and spend some time with him, and then he would like to take you out and buy you lunch. So I thought, wow, this has got to be fun. So the date was set, and I had the privilege of spending some time with him and then enjoying a meal together with him. And I found him to be a man of utmost graciousness. You know, when you just hear about somebody or perhaps even see them on television and you've never been in their presence, something's missing. But when I was with him and it was just the two of us, I felt like I was in the presence of greatness. And I honor that man and the great church that is our neighbor church right down the street. Isn't it a sweet thing when Christians and even pastors bless each other rather than curse one another? Pray for one another and not against one another. And Pastor Monroe and I were at a restaurant enjoying a meal. And he said to me, Carl, when was the last time you heard a sermon on sanctification? Just teaching or preaching a biblical standard of holy living. And I said to him, you know, it's been a long time, really. We don't hear that message preached much anymore. And I said, but I grew up in a church that preached that truth real good and very often. Preaching a standard for holy living in our day is a lost art. It's not a popular message. I'll tell you what the popular message that is being preached today. And that is the message that is shallow and short, to the point. And it's a good point. But the message that is most popular in our culture today is believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And that's about as far as it goes. Nothing is immediately addressed concerning the biblical standard of being sanctified and learning how to grow in a life of living holiness. Am I telling the truth? That's the popular message in our culture today. But I want to tell you the truth about sanctification. It is one of those wonderful things that begins working the moment we receive Christ. It is an immediate and a progressive work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It starts on the inside of us and works its way out and affects the way we behave, the way we act, and the way we live our lives. Many people hear the gospel and receive it like this. They come to Christ, they have their ticket to heaven, they're born again, really. But then they never give any attention to adjusting their life to better glorify God with their lives while they're in the world. When I grew up in a Pentecostal church, sanctification was preached so intentionally that our doctrine called it this. Our doctrine said sanctification is the second definite work of God's grace in our life. The second definite work God did in us. Second only to salvation itself. As soon as you are saved, then the very next thing God does definitely as a work of grace is begin sanctifying you. Cleaning your life up. I need my ushers now to be sure if anybody starts throwing eggs, they miss me. Sanctification is allowing God to consecrate our daily life for His purposes. It's a definite and a daily surrender of our life to God. Not just simply, I'm born again now, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to keep living just like I used to, flesh raging and all. I'm going to appoint a few people in a minute just to say amen. Sanctification is a presenting of ourselves approved to God. The Bible says, let a workman study God's word. Let God's word affect the way we live our life so that we can present ourselves approved to God. And sanctification makes us fit for our assignment. Now, when you come to Christ, repentance begins a work. And when repentance is active, cleansing is inevitable. So many people today want to repent just enough to get eternal security. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But if repentance stops short of being a permanent lifestyle. I don't know about you, but I've had to repent more than once. And when repentance keeps working in our life, then cleansing happens. Now, the first time the word sanctified is mentioned in the Bible, and remember, we believe in the law of first mention. Anytime something this powerful in Scripture, this widespread from one end of the book to the other, anytime sanctification or anything is mentioned for the first time, it sets an order for the importance of other times it's mentioned that follow. It's mentioned in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. And it says this, the first time this word is mentioned, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. God worked and created everything that there is in the 6 days of creation, but He took the seventh day and sanctified it. What He did was, He said, I'm going to set this one day apart from all the others. This one is going to be consecrated as a day for rest. There's going to be an ordination on this thing that I have sanctified. It's going to be set apart from everything else. That's the first time it's mentioned, is when God set the Sabbath aside by sanctifying it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 20, Paul writing to the church, he's speaking to us today. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Listen to the next verse. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master. Sanctified and useful. Sanctified and useful. Sanctified and then useful. Some vessels that were vessels of dishonor can become vessels of honor if they cleanse themselves and become sanctified and then useful for the master. Prepared. That's why I'm calling it made fit for your assignment. Prepared for every good work. There's some powerful phraseology in that verse there. If anyone cleanses himself. Now, we take some responsibility on that. Oh, I know it's a work of grace. It begins with God's grace. It's but works are important. Look at the scripture. After you're sanctified, then you're made useful because you have been prepared for every good work. Amen. Now, works will not save you, of course. But works are important after you are saved. And so, not only is sanctification a thing that begins immediately by God's grace in our life, the second we are born of the Spirit, but then it continues. It is progressive. And as we stay in the Word and under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit, then He uses the Word to continually cleanse us. And we take some responsibility in allowing that process. The Bible says, if a man will cleanse himself, he will be a vessel of honor. Sanctified and useful. Sanctified and useful. That's a whole lot better than unsanctified and unuseful. Now, that's God's will for all of us, to be sanctified and useful for His purposes in our life. Paul addresses here this idea of living a good life, a holy life, if you will, in terms of clean or unclean vessels. And I'll just say this about sanctification. It shouldn't scare anybody off. This is growing time this morning. Now, if you are not interested in growing at all spiritually, what the heck are you doing here this morning? I mean, really. I assume, just by virtue of the fact that you came to church this morning, there is some desire in there that you want to grow spiritually a little. This is our chance today. By the way, let me say, it's hard to deal with a subject like this without some people thinking, oh God, he's into legalism. Oh God, I feel judgment now and condemnation. Well, not for me, you don't. I'll go ahead and disclaim that I have none to give you. I hate legalism, but there is a mature balance when you divide the word rightly to have some responsibility with what we've been entrusted. And so as we grow spiritually, we take on that sense and we grow into some responsibility with it. But no, I judge no one. I don't want to be judged, and so therefore if I dish it out, I got to take it in, so therefore, And no condemnation, even the Holy Spirit won't do that. Now I know some churches and some pastors will preach a condemning word, a judging word, a legalistic word, and I don't know why they do it. But I really don't want, so I'm not doing that. The Holy Spirit will not condemn you. He will convict you. That's what He does. Even He, John 3:16, love it. God so loved the world. But the next verse said, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn sin or sinners, but that the world through Him might be saved. So I'm not about judging anybody or becoming legalistic or condemning anybody. Not at all, but I'm only giving you the word, I believe, rightly divided on this one topic, this one very important doctrine of ours from Scripture that will help us become more like Christ. And after all, that's what the word Christian means, a little Christ, like Christ. Here's the truth. To the degree that we are sanctified, to that same degree, God is glorified. To the degree we are sanctified, To that same degree, God is glorified through our life. Romans 6:12, the New Living Translation says, "Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires." Here's how important sanctification is. And none of us are perfect yet. Sanctification is so important that you can be the most horrible sinner that's ever lived. You can be guilty of heinous sin. You can be the worst of the worst of the worst, and then suddenly encounter God's grace and be rendered innocent before God and righteous before Him the moment your faith is placed in Jesus as your Savior. You're forgiven and ready for heaven. That's good enough, isn't it? But there's more. Sanctification picks up right then. And over a process of time, retrains that man that was the vilest of all sinners and teaches him a better way to live his life. All he knew up until the moment he met Christ and was forgiven and radically saved, all he knew was habits of the flesh and life on the street and playing the game of a con artist maybe, or stabbing others in the back, or ripping people off, or trying to control people to get what he wants, and stealing and robbing and whatever, partying, drinking, carrying on, whatever. That's all he knew. Well, he don't know any better. Now that he's saved, his spirit is born again and alive and eternal. But sanctification picks up right that second. And God says, now I want to teach you a higher way to live, a better way to live. You don't need to repeat those mistakes again, because look at my word. My word says instead of doing that, you're to do this. And let my word cleanse you. Let me wash you with the water of my word over the rest of your lifetime. And day by day and moment by moment, I'm going to eventually lead you to a place to where you think differently than you did when you were in sin. And you act differently than you did when you were in sin. All of us are growing. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Romans 6:18 in the New King James Version is powerful. Listen to this. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. If you want to just do a word study and just get before the Lord and be real with Him this week and ask Him, Holy Spirit, this phrase, slaves of righteousness, what did you really mean when you wrote that? And let Him teach about that to you. Imagine being a slave of righteousness. No longer a slave to sin. We've been free from slavery to sin, but sin in our life has been replaced with righteousness. And we should be just as bound to righteousness now as we were bound to sin before we were born again. That's what sanctification does in the life of a believer. God spoke to Jeremiah, the prophet. Listen to what God said to that man. And He says it to all of us. God said to Jeremiah, "Before you were born, I sanctified you." And then the next thing He said in the same sentence, "And ordained you." There's a sense of a calling right there. In Jeremiah's case, it was an ordination to be a prophet. But notice the order. First of all comes sanctification. And then after that, ordination. Many people, men and women, young people, are born again and as sincerely as they know how have trusted Jesus with their life. Their intentions are good, and they are legitimately brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, but still have no sense of calling on their life. When the truth is, all of us have an assignment. All of us were sanctified by God before we were born. He set us apart from everybody else in the world for something unique that only we are called to do. And we should know what that assignment is. God said, I sanctified you and then I ordained you. And he decided to do that early on, even before Jeremiah was born. I have a question for you. How valuable is your assignment? Do you even know what it is? Do you know why God has set you apart? Why he is pleased to plant you and to set you in the church where you are? What was he thinking when he did all this for you? Why does God have you where you are? What is your assignment, and what value do you place on it? I tell you, if we really knew the full picture of the assignment God had for each of us, we would take cleansing ourselves more seriously so that we could be prepared for the good work God created us for. Sanctification and then ordination. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of your calling, of your assignment. Jesus prayed to the Father that famous prayer in John 17. He said, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Two verses later, he said, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. The word sanctify is defined as set apart, consecrate, to make holy. When Jesus said, I sanctify myself, he was saying, I consecrate myself. I make myself holy. Sanctification empowers us to walk worthy of our assignment. Now, this is good stuff right here this morning now. This is just too much for 1:30 minutes. We're going to have to go home and chew on some of this. But it's so true. Sanctification empowers us to walk worthy of our assignment. Sanctification, this is good news for a spouse here, a husband maybe, who has a wife that is not a believer yet, or a wife that does not have a husband that's a believer yet. So if you're in a marriage and one of the spouses is an unbeliever and one is a believer, sanctification is so powerful that 1 Corinthians 7:14 says, the believing or the unbelieving husband, the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. And an unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Now that's a powerful principle. We need to take this thing of sanctification seriously. I once knew a couple, husband and wife, many years ago. You did not know them. I still won't call their names. But the wife was a spiritual powerhouse. She could hear from God. She was set apart for special work for God. I mean, she just had a gift in her life. The husband had some baggage from his past, but they met and fell in love and got married, and he did come to the Lord and attend church and provided for her and for their children. And we didn't think much about it. Those of us who were watching their life, it all looked good. But we knew that she was the powerhouse spiritually, and many wives are. And us husbands thank the Lord for it. Because of this principle right here. But suddenly, that wife died. Suddenly, unexpectedly, tragically, suddenly, as a young woman. And the husband, within 30 days, went wild. It was as if he had never known the Lord. He was sinning blatantly. There was no restraint whatsoever on his actions or his behavior. And over the years, looking back to that couple as a model, I'm so aware that the power in this scripture is what was playing out there. When they were married and that sanctified wife was alive, sanctification, the power of that process in her life was so strong that it even extended to offer a measure of cleansing and sanctification to her husband. But when she was instantly gone, and there was no restraint or no covering of sanctification over his life, he was like a bronking bull. Is that it? Bucking bull. I need to go to the farmer again and learn these words. I did hold a one-day-old baby goat this week, and that was fun. But he just went crazy because his sanctified wife was no longer in his life. And it was a sad thing to see. So an encouraging word for spouses here, you're married to someone that is not as strong in the faith and perhaps not even at all in the faith. God will use this power in your life to cover him or her until they step into it on their own. Now, I want to tell you something else, and then I'm about to wrap it up. This is just driving the point home of how important this is. Please don't leave here today saying, I've had enough of that doctrine. Don't want to hear about that anymore the rest of my life. I've got enough now to last me till I get to heaven. Sanctification, that's all I need to hear about that. Please, please let the Spirit of God continue to settle this truth in our lives. The revelation of certain truths in Scripture are reserved only for those who have been sanctified. Not just those who've been born again. In fact, thank God for the truth for all of us. Thank God it's available to us. But there are certain things God says that can be heard only by those who've been sanctified. It's quiet in here. Maybe I need to speed this up. I'll give you a couple of examples. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, chapter 1. You'll read it early. He writes this way, to the church which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So in other words, we can read from that there are some things God has written to us in His Word that we will only hear by the Spirit of revelation if we are sanctified. That's who the letter was written to the believers at Corinth, to those who are sanctified and called to be saints. It happened again in the book of Jude. Jude starts out his letter by saying, to those who are called, sanctified by God, preserved in Jesus Christ. The next verse says, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Now, if you're here thinking, well, I could use a little more mercy, I could use a little more peace, and I could use a lot more love, then it will be multiplied to those who are sanctified by God. There it is right there in Scripture. So there are some things God will speak by the Spirit of revelation, even from His Word, that we cannot hear unless the process of sanctification is working in our life. And then in the book of Acts, This is a word. I'll close with this one. It's the word inheritance. Anybody like that word? That's going to be a very important word in this church in the next 3 months. Inheritance. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, it says, the word of God is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. An inheritance among those who are sanctified. An inheritance among those who are sanctified. It's right there in the word, Acts 20, 32. And then again in the book of Acts, chapter 26 and verse 18, we read these words, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Amen. An inheritance among those who are sanctified. Twice in the book of Acts, that phrase is used. An inheritance among those who are sanctified. Would you stand with me? I'd like Pastor Chris, the singers, and the musicians to come back to the platform. And just before we leave, we're going to remain in his presence and sing.